Hi, everybody. Thanks for calling in today for the UFC 78 pre-fight media conference call. Dana White usually hosts these calls, but he is behind on his schedule today, and he's going to try to join us in progress, but until he calls in, I will host the call. Today we have Rashad Evans, Michael Bisping, and Houston Alexander on the phone here to answer all of your questions. Before we get started, I'll just run through the pre-fight program for UFC 78 out in Newark. On Wednesday, we have the UFC 78 open workouts for the media, and those will take place at the DoubleTree Hotel inside the workout rooms, which is in the Somerset Ballroom on the first floor. We'll have one session from 1 to 2, and then another session from 2 to 3. On Thursday, we'll have the pre-fight press conference at the same hotel, the DoubleTree Hotel Newark, from 12 to 2, lunch from 12 to 1, and the press conference from 1 to 2 p.m. This is all Eastern time. And on Friday, we'll have a fighter autograph session from 1 to 3 p.m., UFC Fight Club Q&A with Matt Serra from 2 to 3. Media are welcome to attend that. And then the weigh-ins to follow. And on Saturday, the fight starts at doors open at 7:30. The first bout starts at 8:15. The main card goes live at 10 o'clock, and we'll close up with the post-fight press conference around 1:30 a.m. So with that being said, I'll now open up Q&A. Operator, if we can go for questions for the press.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that you make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, it is star 1, please. And from the Washington Post, Ryan Mink.
Hi. Michael, this question is for you. How are you doing?
How are you doing? I'm good, thanks.
That's good. Just wondering, I mean, after all the kind of controversy after your last fight, you know, how much you've thought about that or how much you just want to put that behind you?
I mean, yeah, of course I want to put it behind me. My performance wasn't, you know, it wasn't the best performance of the night, and you know, there was definitely a bit of controversy afterwards, you know, but, you know, regarding the press conference and things, you know, maybe I didn't handle myself too good, but there's a lot of mitigating circumstances, you know, which I went on behind the scenes that I'd rather not go into. But you know, I mean, life's a lesson, you know, and you know, I'm relatively new to all this myself, so I'm learning all the time. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the fight next week and looking forward to moving on with my career and putting that behind me.
Right. What was it, you know, even though you got the win, was it kind of a distraction for you or something kind of negative?
Was what something negative?
The last fight, was it something you'd rather forget?
Well, no, you know, I mean, I think I won that fight, you know. I saw there's a lot of people on the night said they didn't think I won the fight, but then when they've gone back and they've watched the tape, they've changed their mind. Kevin Ioli from Yahoo Sports said the very thing to me the other day on the phone. All the professionals involved in the sport, they scored the fight for me. Sherdog.com, they scored it 29-28. The judge scored it to me, the referee scored it to me, you know, a lot of people who aren't professionals, you know, they had other opinions, but the people that get paid to know the sport and the websites and people involved that have been around a long time, they scored it for me, and obviously I have to agree with that.
Right. Also, I wanted to ask you and Rashad, just, you know, when you guys went on Ultimate Fighter, did you have any idea that you would so quickly rise to where you are today, if both of you could answer that?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, absolutely not. You know, I mean, this has all been a whirlwind for me, and I'm loving every minute of it, but I never thought that a year and a half later I'd be headlining an event. No.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I never thought it'd be like this, so, you know, I'm just pleasantly surprised.
Right. Rashad, do you feel like you guys have... You know, when you first got into the UFC, did you have something to prove that, you know, you Ultimate Fighter guys weren't a joke or weren't, you know, anything less than these other guys?
Yeah, I mean, you have a bullseye in your back, you know, pretty much, you know, because everybody wants to show, you know, these guys aren't so tough at all, and they just, you know, do it for TV and, you know, just reality stars. But when you get out there and you got these guys going against you, you know, it's just pretty tough because you not only have, you know, your opponents, but then you got, you know, the media and all your fans, you know, so, you know, it opens you up for a lot of criticism.
What kind of stuff were you hearing it from him?
What's that?
what kind of criticism were you hearing and from whom?
Oh, well, you know, just about, you know, just from everybody, you know, a lot of blogs, you know, a lot of writers, you know, that say stuff like, you know, can he rise to the level? Is he skilled enough? Does he got what it take? You know, just, you know, stuff like that.
Right, right. Okay, thank you, guys.
All right.
We'll now hear from Neil Davidson with the Canadian Press.
Yes, my first question is for Rashad. Rashad, did you think that Michael Bisping won the fight against Matt Hamill?
No, I didn't think he won the fight. I thought that, Matt Hamill was a busier fighter. He pressured him, and he definitely put the fight where he wanted to be. In my point of view, I think, you know, that's a sign of a winner. But, you know, it didn't get scored that way. So.
And if I can ask a follow-up to Houston. Houston, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Houston, there was a story on the UFC website that talked about your family and how you had you gave a kidney to your daughter who was ill. I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about that, and hopefully that everybody's okay now.
Well, everything's fine, but you know, early when my daughter was actually first born, she had a kidney deficiency, and so they knew she was going to need a kidney somewhere down the line, and the year was 2000 when she actually needed it. So, you know, we all got tested, all the family members got tested, and I just ended up being a match. So there you have it. It's all in a nutshell. I was a match. There was no second thought to the whole situation. I gave her a kidney, and that was it.
And does it affect you in any way, or is life totally normal for you with the one kidney?
No, everything's totally normal. You know, there's no different effects or anything like that. Everything is all normal.
It sounds like the kind of incident, thing that puts everything in perspective, one would imagine.
Yeah, you think? with that being done, you know, everything else is secondary. So, you know, I'm just fortunate to be in a situation where, you know, I can actually be here. So, yeah, it puts it in a whole different perspective.
Thank you, Houston.
No problem.
And Katie Strang from Newsday.
Yeah, hi, guys. This is actually for both of you. How do you feel like the fact that you both are coming off controversial last fights adds to the incentive of this fight for both of you?
For me, you know, last fight was last fight, and I definitely, you know, I definitely was disappointed, you know, in my performance. But, you know, I moved past that, and I'm just going to focus on this fight right here, and I really can't bring last fight into this fight, because no matter what I do, I would never never vindicate myself in that last fight. You know, that fight's done and over with, so I just got to focus on this one and then.
Okay, and then, I mean, I guess, what do you think bringing an event like this to the New York metropolitan area, especially since it's been the first time in a while, can do in terms of the exposure for the sport?
Who are you asking the question to, me or Bisping?
Either of you, if you could both weigh in on that.
Well, for me personally, you know, it's hard for me to comment because obviously, you know, I live in England. But I think, you know, the more the UFC travels and, you know, the more states and the more countries it goes to, you know, I think it's a great thing for the sport and for the public, you know. The more people learn about this wonderful sport, the better. And, yeah, you know, to sum it up, it's a good thing.
And Rashad, I mean, what do you think are currently, I mean, you have a little bit more familiarity, but what do you think are currently the biggest obstacles in terms of getting fights sanctioned in states that currently don't allow it?
Just getting the lawmakers to understand, you know, the professionalism of the sport, you know, and just getting them on the same page and getting them seeing what it's really about, you know. You know, a lot of people say they see it and they see the blood and they see the cage and they say, oh, no, it's too violent. It's human, you know, cockfighting or dogfighting, you know. But, you know, it's just educating the lawmakers on it and showing that it is a good, clean, legitimate sport and very exciting, you know.
And then one more follow-up to that, Rashad, if I can ask. What do you think, whether it be stylistically, personality-wise, in terms of fan appeal, makes this matchup worthy of a main event?
What?
Let me. Hey, it's Dana, Rashad. Let me answer that one. This is the main event. Two UFC, two guys coming off the Ultimate Fighter, two winners from two different seasons, have never fought each other before. Not only is it hard to go 3-0 in this sport, both these guys that are fighting in this main event are 15-0.
Is this Dana? Sorry.
Yeah, it's Dana. I'm on. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay.
Hi, Dana.
What's up, buddy?
Can I just ask you one question that I asked both of them? What do you think bringing a sport, this event, to the New York area will do in terms of not only increasing exposure, but also legitimacy in terms of getting it sanctioned in areas that it's currently not?
Well, it's big for us to be back on the East Coast. We haven't been there in a long time. The closest we've been is to Florida. And, you know, we're working on going to New York as soon as possible. So Newark made sense. They had the new arena. We wanted to go out there and check it out. And it's going to be big for exposure. We plan on being in New York late 2008, early 2009. So it's going to be great for exposure.
What's going to have to happen for that to be able to be possible?
We need to focus on it and get it done. We really haven't focused on New York yet. I think since we've bought the company, I think there's been 33 states or more now that are sanctioned in this country, and we haven't really focused on New York yet. There were a lot of other areas that we knew we could get into fast and easy. So, you know, that's where we've been focused now. We really haven't had the time to put the effort into New York yet, and now we're starting to.
Thank you.
And from Knockout, Chad Edward.
Hi, guys. I have a question both for Rashad and Michael. The fight, the main event's being marketed, like Dana just said, as a fight between two tough champions. When you guys look at your professional accomplishments and you think about what it means to be a tough champion, is that something you're proud of, or is that something that you feel you would rather just forget and move on? And so when you look back and one of you one day will be a champion, probably, and you look back, are you going to hold, you know, the tough championship in esteem right below a championship in the UFC, or do you just want to forget about it?
I'll say that. For me personally, you know, it's a huge accomplishment, and winning the Ultimate Fighter 3 title is one of the biggest accomplishments of my life. And for anyone to tell me otherwise, you know, I'd take it as a huge insult. It's not an easy thing to do, and I think people underestimate how hard it is to do it. And until you've been through something like that yourself, you know, it's hard to understand. So, yeah, I mean, fingers crossed. As you say, if one day I end up with a belt around my waist, you know, of course I'll still hold it in esteem.
Yeah, I feel the same way, you know, because if it wasn't for the Ultimate Fighter, I wouldn't be the fighter that I am today, you know.
Yeah.
And it definitely holds great esteem, you know, and I will look at that as being one of the tools that helped me get to that belt when I have it.
All right, thanks. Also, for Rashad, and I want to be as respectful to Michael as possible, but he doesn't have the although he's a great fighter, obviously, he doesn't have the professional accomplishment as your last opponent, Tito, who you drew with. Do you feel like, would you rather have a different fight for this fight? Would you rather be going against a guy who has the professional resume of a Tito Ortiz?
You know, you always, as a fighter, you know, who wants to test himself, you always look for those fights that are the big name fights, but, you know, you can never look past or underestimate anybody. So with this fight, I just take each fight as it is, and in this fight, I have a different goal in mind, you know, and you know, it doesn't matter if I'm fighting, you know, Michael Bisping or Tito Ortiz or whoever else they throw in there. You know, I'm going to go out there and try to fight my very hardest and come out with a W no matter what.
All right, great. And one for Dana.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm here.
Just a quick one about Akihiro Gono. Is he going to be allowed to do the ring entrances he's known for in the UFC?
I don't know. We'll probably go over that. You know, if he has any special requests like that, he'd come to us and talk to us about it.
But
he hasn't asked.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
We'll now hear from Nick Solomon with jabsandgrads.com.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing today, kid?
Morning.
Good.
Okay.
Hi.
Dan, if I could start with you, please. I'd just like to ask you if you could provide us with some clarity to the number one contender for Anderson Silva's middleweight championship.
Who the next contender will be?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know right now.
Okay.
I haven't even thought about it, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, I'm sure when you do, you'll let us know.
Absolutely.
As far as you've got a very interesting fight on this card, Rio Chonan versus Carl Parisian.
That is a very interesting fight.
because it's a great fight. My question is, though, Ryotonian's coming in at welterweight, and it seemed almost like he would be a natural fit at middleweight considering that he has a victory over Anderson Silva. What made you decide to have him compete as a welterweight?
I didn't. He did.
You didn't try and talk him out of it?
Believe me, trying to talk these guys out of stuff once they set their mind on it is not easy. So, you know, he wanted to do it. I've been trying to dodge Dan Henderson into going to 185 pounds. He doesn't want to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. If I could move on to Houston for a second.
Yes, sir.
Houston, you have a prior association with Quentin Jackson. Does that cause any conflict for you as far as if perhaps in the near future, assuming you were... if Dana is to present you with an offer to fight him for the title?
Now, one more time? Say that one more time?
Your previous association with Quentin Jackson,
okay,
had it all cause any conflict for you if you were presented with the opportunity to fight him for the title in the near future?
Would that have any... I don't think so. You know, we're all professionals in this sport. And, you know, we're all professionals outside the ring. And what we do inside the ring is our job. So, you know, everyone, you know, should act accordingly. You know, we're all professionals outside the ring. When we're inside the ring, we're doing our job.
One more thing for you real quick.
Yeah.
Recently, Keith Jardine has said that he believes that if I fought 99 times out of 100, he would win 99 out of 100. Does that at all fuel you up to maybe clarify to him and to anybody else that might have a question that whether how, that maybe you caught him off guard that, you know, you would... That win was no fluke at all.
what I would say that would be to go back and watch the fight.
And I don't want to take up too much time, so if I could just put Michael Bisping and Rashad one question together, and they can both answer it individually. You're both coming off of controversial decision or not critical decisions that you've had against both of you from some people out there. Do you feel now that it's more of a pressure for each one of you to win decisively by knockout or submission?
Go on. Most importantly for me, it's not about, you know, going in there and winning in any kind of way. You know, it's just about going there and just getting the job done. I think if I go in there and get the job done, it should be impressive no matter what.
Me personally, I always want to go out and find an exciting fight, you know, and I always want to go for the knockout or the submission or finish the fight. And I've only had one fight, which was my last fight, go to a decision, you know, and that's what I look to do every time, put on an entertaining fight, and that's what I'm going to try and do this time.
Okay. Well, thank you all for your time today, and I wish you all the best luck on a great show this weekend.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And from Ultimate Grappling, Doug Jeffrey.
Hey, thanks for your time, first of all. Question for Houston. You beat Keith, and Keith went on to beat Chuck, so what does that do for your confidence level?
You know, it feels good. I think my stock might have went up a couple of percentage points, but it actually feels good because you know, Chuck and Keith are some of the top fighters in the world. So for me to actually beat Keith and Keith beat Chuck, that's a great feeling.
All right. For Rashad, you said that your time spent on The Ultimate Fighter made you what you are today. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Just about making it through, you know, the everything I had to make it through on the show. You know, a lot of the odds are stacked against me, and you know, it was you know, I was in unfamiliar territory, and just along those lines, you know, making it out when I didn't really see a way out. I was like, man, I don't even know how I'm gonna fight this guy. You know, my hand doesn't feel right. I don't feel right. I'm not with my coach. I'm not, you know, just all those different things that you have to persevere through as a fighter, you know, and doing it by yourself. You know, that's why I say it made me the fighter I am today.
Okay, good deal. And finally for Dana, what is Henderson's reluctance to go down to 185?
I have no idea. He wants to stay at 205 for some reason. I don't get it. I don't know.
Will you persist and keep after him, or is it pretty much a done deal?
Oh, I terrorize him every day about it.
Okay, good deal. Thanks very much.
And Franklin McNeil with the Newark Star-Ledger has our next question.
All right, how you doing, guys? How you doing?
Let me first
apologize. I'm fighting a cold, so I'm going to try to do my best. My first question is for Rashad. Rashad, we spoke not too long ago about you fighting close to home. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that tends to happen when a fighter is fighting so close to home is you have a lot of people requesting tickets and all kind of want your attention. How have you been able to handle that now that you're less than a week away from fighting?
I just delegated it out to my wife and my managers and stuff. I really don't deal with it too much. You know, I talk to my close friends and stuff like that, but as far as all the extra distractions, I don't really get involved in too much.
And do you feel that fighting so close to home will be an advantage for you in any kind of way?
I think I have a lot of fans there and whatnot, but that's about it. I don't know if they'll help me out when I'm actually in the octagon, but that's about it.
Okay, and my next question is for Houston.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, man?
How you doing, partner?
Well, okay. When we talked, we spoke about all the stuff you do at home with the kids and the with the rap music and teaching them things of that nature. You also, it was alluded to earlier about the kidney transplant with your daughter. You've done so much, but when we see you in the octagon, you're this, you know, you're this real hard hitter. Who is Houston Alexander? I mean, who is this guy that can be in so many ways so caring, but in the octagon so vicious?
Well, I'm just a hardworking individual, just like everyone in the UFC organization, man. There's no special formula for what I myself or anyone else do. This is just me. It's a part of me. It's a part of my life. Just like all the other guys, and this is just what I do, and this is who I am.
Great. And Dana, looking forward to seeing you this week, man. I hope to feel a little bit better when we meet.
Me too, buddy. I hope you're better, and thanks for all the support. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Take care, guys. I'll see you guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, brother.
Bye-bye.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star one, please, if you have a question. And from MMA Madness, Ben Lippo.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, man?
Got a couple Dana, it's been over 2 years since we've had a UFC pay-per-view on the East Coast. What's the reasoning behind the delay?
Because there were a lot, you know, the first 3 years, we basically were back and forth between Vegas, Atlantic City, and Mohegan Sun. And with all these other states opening it up, we wanted to get out and move this thing around and get to a lot of different places. And now we're ready to come back to New Jersey, and we're focusing on New York.
Great, great. Good stuff. So why Newark instead of Atlantic City this time around?
The new arena. We wanted to check out the new arena.
Okay. And it was originally rumored that we would see Ortiz Evans as the headliner on this card. What happened to that?
Apparently Tito said he got hurt and couldn't take the fight. And then I found out he was shooting The Apprentice.
And just one more why not have the visiting Hamill 2 rather than the visiting headliner?
Because Michael Hamill really Matt Hamill really did get hurt.
I see.
Hamill was injured.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll now move on from CBS Sports, Denny Burkholder.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I had a question for Michael Bisping. Rashad spoke a little bit about home field advantage before, and Michael, I know your last couple of fights have been in England, and they love you over there. How big of an advantage was it fighting over there in England, and do you anticipate that making a big difference now that you're coming to the States again?
At the time, it was, you know, it felt great to be fighting at home, not having to travel to the States. You know, you have all your team, your support network around you, and obviously the fans are cheering for you. But that said, this time, because I'm fighting away, I do feel a hell of a lot less pressure. It's hard to put it into words, but I just feel so much different going into this fight. You know, I feel like I haven't got a nation's bloody hopes and dreams on it almost. You know, it was hard. The pressure I felt was just incredible. And now, you know, it really does feel like I've got a burden lifted off my shoulders. You know, it feels good.
Do you feel like after the uproar about the controversy with the decision of your fight versus Hamill that you might be coming over here with a little bit of a villain aura? And if so, how will you respond to that?
Possibly, you know. I mean, if you look at the incident, then I could get shot on the way to the ring, let alone booed.
But, you know, I mean, that's all just, as far as I'm concerned, that's a bit of pantomime, you know. I mean, these guys, they haven't met me. They don't know anything about me, you know, so they're just judging me on, I don't know, you know, things they see on TV. So I don't take it personally. And if that happens, then that's great. You know, I'll try and turn that into, I'll try and channel that, you know.
Okay. And now a couple of questions for Dana. The Sean Shirk appeal has been pushed back to December 4th. Has that changed anything about what you plan to do with his title situation?
Sean, BJ Penn and Joe Stevenson are going to fight for the interim title. We'll see what happens with Shirk.
Okay.
If Shirk is found guilty, we'll support the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and he'll probably be stripped of the title. If not, then he'll keep his title, and it'll be champion versus champion.
Okay. And one last thing. You mentioned Florida earlier. Do you anticipate it returning to Florida anytime soon?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We'll go to Florida this year, in 2008, I mean.
Okay, do you think you might try a pay-per-view, or will it be just like another fight night? Or?
No, we'll probably do a pay-per-view.
Okay, cool. Any idea which cities?
I don't know yet. We're working on that now.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll now move on to Carlos Arias with Orange County Register.
I got a couple questions for Dana. How you doing, Dan?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
All right. Hey, has the whole Shirk situation turned you off to, you know, the California State Athletic Commission, or is it just something that you guys have to deal with? What are your feelings on that?
Not at all. The way that you have to look at this thing, steroids are such a huge issue right now, it's insane, you know? And the Athletic Commission's doing what they do. I mean, listen, it shouldn't be anybody's concern. We shouldn't be concerned whether we're going to California, Nevada, New Jersey. You're not supposed to be taking steroids. End of story.
Right on. And the other question, too, is the card in Newcastle with BJ Penn and Joe Stevenson, will that be on Spike TV, or is that pay-per-view?
I don't know yet. We're trying to figure that out, where we're going to put that right now.
Okay, and one last one. Are you in talks right now with any of the network television stations about putting the UFC on there?
There's I'm in talks.
You know, speculation everywhere.
I'm talking to a lot of people right now. One thing we've always done, Carlos, is we've taken this thing to another level every year. Wait till you see what we're going to do in 2008.
All right, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, brother.
And from Yahoo Sports, Dave Meltzer.
Hey, Dana, how you doing?
Good, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, a couple of things. I was going to ask, I know you had some of the fighters in over the last couple of days. What were the main things that you were talking to the fighters about? Was steroids the key thing, or were there other things too?
No, we covered everything. We had Dr. Voy and some of the guys from the DEA come in and talk to the fighters about steroids, but we covered everything. This thing was long overdue. We should have done this a couple of years ago, because we got a lot of growing pains right now. I have 100 employees just at Zuffa that work for Zuffa, and I have 250 fighters under contract, you know, so trying to keep everything under control and communicating with everybody. So we brought the fighters in, and we basically talked to them about everything. It was great. It was good for them, and it was good for us.
I mean, anything in specific? I mean, as far as contract deals or behavior. I know the steroids was one of the things. I mean, any other thing in particular?
Yeah, not really behavior. I mean, our guys aren't little babies. These guys know how to act, you know. We talked to them about, about steroids, about their contracts, about taxes, about, you know, just everything. Everything to do with the business. There's guys who've been fighting in the UFC since 2001, since we bought it, that didn't know a lot of the stuff. We explained why we do a lot of the things that we do. And it's funny the way that the timing worked on this thing. First of all, we had some growing pains, and I felt we needed to talk to the fighters about what's going on and what we're doing, why we do the things we do. And obviously steroids was something we needed to talk about. And then the whole Randy Couture thing happened, you know? And I felt like, you know, there was obviously a lack of communication there that I thought Randy and I had. And that whole thing freaked me out. So, you know, I wanted to talk to them all about that too.
Also, on the Couture thing, have you officially offered him that match, and with Nogueira or Sylvia, and has he officially turned it down, or where does that stand?
We officially offered it to him, and we haven't heard back yet.
Okay. How long do you figure you've got to wait to hear from him, or what's
the
next step?
We should know this week.
Okay.
He texted me yesterday and said he wants to sit down and talk with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that sounds better than before, I guess, right?
Makes me warm and fuzzy.
Okay. And so as far as anything else, as far as television on Spike, when would the next Ultimate Fighter final, do you have a date or a time frame for next year for the next, you know, Spike special?
Ultimate Fight Night?
Yeah, if it, Ultimate Fight Night or something, yeah.
I think it's January 19th.
Okay.
Hey, Craig, the next Ultimate Fight Night, is it January 19th? January 19th.
Okay, great.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
And we'll now move on to Steve Heidel with the Home News Tribune.
Hey, my question is for Dana. One of the fights that's of particular interest to the people of New Jersey is the one featuring Frank Edgar, who's from right here in Toms River. I was just wondering if you could give me your thoughts on Edgar as a fighter and how he matches up against Spencer Fisher.
I'm sorry, real quick for the Dave Meltzer question. It's January 23rd is the fight night. January 19th is Newcastle. I hope Dave's still on. It's January 23rd is fight night. The 19th is Newcastle. And your question, Frankie Edgar is awesome. This kid is going to I seriously think this card is awesome. Well, you got Carl Parisian and Rio Chonin, Joe Dorkson and Ed Herman, Houston Alexander and Thiago Silva, Rashad Evans and Michael Bisping, both guys 15-0. But Frankie Edgar and Spencer Fisher could be the best fight you've ever seen in your life.
What makes it so exciting?
Because of both these guys' styles. Styles make fights. Both these guys are aggressive. They're both very well-rounded. They both love to finish fights, and they never stop.
Thanks a lot, Dana. Looking forward to seeing it.
Thanks, buddy.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, star one, please. And the Washington Post, Ryan Mink.
Hi, Houston. I wanted to talk to you more about your family life. I know you've kind of talked about this a lot, but I saw that you're a father.
Yep.
What do you do all day? You're in charge. You're kind of like Mr. Mom or what?
I train and take care of kids, and I actually do the radio station thing still. So that's pretty much it. I train because now that's my permanent job, and I do the radio thing on the side. But in between all that, I take care of children.
So what? So give me your hours. What time do you wake up with the kids, and what time do you go in the train?
Well, I wake up at 5:30 every morning, and I go go to the gym by 6, work out a couple hours, and then by that time it's time for the kids to go to school. So I come back home, take the kids to school. Once I'm done though, taking the kids to school, I go back and train for a couple more hours, eat lunch, go train again, and then go pick the kids up for after school. So you know, that's almost every other day. Anything extra after that, I do with radio or any extracurricular activities. Excuse me. Right.
You have any? You're a DJ, right?
Yeah.
You have how often do you DJ?
Well, every Sunday. I got a show from 7 to 10 called Sunday Night Raw, where I play nothing but independent music from all over the world, hip hop and R&B.
At what club?
Not at a club, on radio.
Oh, on the radio, okay.
Yes, sir.
Have you gotten a lot more listeners now because of your UFC stardom?
Well, see, I've had listeners before, but yeah, I've gotten a lot more since the UFC. You guessed that one. How'd you guess that?
have you been shocked by this whole thing, by how quickly it's come and everything?
You know, I think I'm more shocked. The UFC fans are just all over. You know, I've been to smaller towns where you probably have more UFC fans than actual NFL fans, and NFL is huge. So it this is a complete shock to me because I was in Sioux Falls the other day, South Dakota, and someone recognized me up there, and the Sioux Falls is a pretty small town. So the UFC is huge.
Right. And what made you get into it at such a later age than most guys?
Well, you know, I got into the UFC a thing on a dare, on the MMA. As far as that goes, it was real interesting how I got in the ring. A friend of mine dared me to get into a ring with a guy that was actually here in Omaha, Nebraska. And the guy, I guess, he was winning every week, and she actually dared me to get inside the ring, and I did, and I ended up winning and got hooked ever since.
Okay. Cool. So has age been a concern with you, or, you know, having the family and then trying to start up a new profession, was that a concern?
No, none of that's a concern to me. You know, as you can ask Randy, and Randy's, what, 43? So age is not a concern. As long as you take care of yourself and you actually try to keep yourself on a straight and narrow, I'm not concerned about age or anything like that.
Right. Cool. Thank you, Houston.
No problem at all, brother.
Considering whether you know, you have these two headliners from the Ultimate Fighter winners, you know, whether it's taken off and given you more quality fighters than maybe you anticipated when you first started the show.
Is that for me? You broke up the first half of it.
Yeah, that's for you, Dana.
Do I think that the Ultimate Fighter has brought me more quality fighters?
Than what you first anticipated when you started the show.
Yeah, I mean, the show, we came up with the idea and really jumped right into it, and I didn't really know how it was going to go. I didn't even know if the thing was going to air the first season. And it's been the greatest tool, not only for building stars, but these guys, you see how they, what level they're on when they enter the show and when they come off the show and then go home and train and come back for the finale. It's unbelievable how good these guys look. Without a doubt, if you want to be a professional fighter, the best thing that can ever happen to you is you end up on the Ultimate Fighter. If you're really that guy and you have the mental and physical toughness and the talent, it's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you.
All right. Cool. Thank you.
We'll now hear from Jerry Park, Ariel Helwani.
Hey, guys. I wanted to start off with Rashad. Excuse me. Rashad, if you win this fight against Michael, where would you rank yourself in the light heavyweight pecking order?
Sorry, you said what?
If you beat Michael Bisping this Saturday, where would you rank yourself in the light heavyweight pecking order?
I don't really know. I really don't rank myself at all, but I think I'm one of the top 205 pounders.
I can answer that one. The guy that wins this fight this weekend will be in the top five in the 205 pound division, no doubt about it.
All right, and Dana brought up the Tito Ortiz going to do The Apprentice. What do you make of Tito claiming that he was injured and now doing this show and everything and not going for the obvious rematch after your bout in July?
You know, Tito's Hollywood, and Tito's going to do what he can. You know, he's about going out there and just being seen. You know, if he can not fight and still be popular, he'll do it. So, you know, I think it's, you know, typical Tito.
Michael, this question is for you. What did you think of Rashad's performance against Tito in July?
I thought it was a close fight. Maybe took him to the third round to realize that he probably deserved to be in there with Tito. You know, I think that he was very sensitive at the start of the fight. And like I say, he found his groove towards the end of the fight. You know? But on the whole, you know, he handled himself well.
After the Matt Hamill fight, did you ever consider going down to middleweight?
That's always in the back of my head. I can make kind of 185, you know. I could definitely do that. But right now, I'm fighting a light heavyweight, and I'm still winning fights. So, I'm happy to fight at light heavyweight. I think there's a Matt Hamill fight, you know, I was overtrained and whatever. There was a few big things that weren't right. But, I'm still staying at light heavyweight for the time being.
Dana, I just had a couple of questions for you. Joe Dirksen is a late replacement to fight Ed Herman. Last time we saw him was in WEC. Is he now a UFC fighter, or is just this a one-time thing?
You know what's funny? I don't know the answer to that question. We probably moved him back up to the UFC for this fight. Yeah.
Because I know when the UFC came under Zuffa, you had mentioned that you wanted to keep both entities separate. Is this something
separate? You're right. No, you're right. Sometimes shit happens, and apparently it did here. We had to bring him back.
As far as the heavyweight title belt, you just announced the interim lightweight belt. Any talks of now, you know, while this whole Randy thing going on, are you going to announce potentially an interim belt, or are you not interested in
doing
that?
No. Randy's going to make a decision one way or the other. We're going to get together next week, I think, and talk and see where we're at.
Finally, I'm not sure if you saw it, but did you happen to catch Kimbo Slice's debut this past weekend?
I did not. How'd it go?
Well, it lasted 19 seconds. You know, a sort of question as to whether or not a lot of people were thinking that the fight was thrown or just Bo Cantrell was just very nervous. But two punches and it was over. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on the whole Kimbo Slice phenomenon.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy is a tough street fighter. You know, how old is Kimbo Slice? I don't know much about him. How old is he?
He's in his mid-30s.
Okay, yeah, I don't know much about the guy other than that he's a street fighter and, you know, and apparently he's making the switch over to MMA. Who knows? Who knows what could happen with a guy like that? I don't know.
All right, thanks a lot, Dana.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll move on to Brian Fritz with the Orlando Sentinel.
Thanks, guys. First question is for Michael Bisping. Michael, what's it going to be like for you fighting in New Jersey? The last couple fights you've had have been in England, so what's it going to be like stepping outside that environment?
It's going to be great, to be honest. I'm really looking forward to it. Like the last two fights were in England, and I've got extra pressure because of that. So, as I said earlier, you know, I feel like there's less pressure on me, even though it's a main event, and so obviously that brings a certain level of pressure with it, and there's pressure to perform. I feel less pressure in general throughout my entire camp, throughout my training camp. If you ask my coach, you know, I've had a better temper about me, better natured, you know, and everything's gone well, you know, and it's going to be great. I can't wait. I'm actually on my way to the airport now, and I'm looking forward to it.
What do you think the crowd's going to do when you're coming out to the octagon for the fight?
I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe I'll get cheered, maybe I'll get booed. Who knows, you know. I don't really care. All I care about is getting in the cage and fighting and winning.
And one question for Rashad. You know, when you go into this fight, we always talk about how Michael is a little bit of a lighter guy for his weight division. How much stronger do you think you are going this fight? And if so, how much of an advantage do you think that could be for you?
Well, I feel pretty strong right now. You know, I really don't know how strong Michael feels at this time, but I feel real strong. I was able to keep my weight up, and my weight feels good, so I feel like I'm probably, you know, as strong as I've been in a long time.
Okay, and one last question for Dana. I know there's talks about coming back down to Florida. Is there any talks about having a pay-per-view event down here? And if so, would it be outside of Hollywood and possibly be in Orlando or Tampa or somewhere?
Yes. Yes, we are coming back to Florida in 2008. And yes, it will be a pay-per-view and it will be in a different city.
Sounds great. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll go back to Neil Davidson.
Thank you. Dana, I have a question for you. For North American fans who perhaps haven't seen much of Gono, what can they expect from Saturday night? And also, can you tell us a little bit about your thoughts on his opponent, Tamden McCrory?
Again, I think it's going to be a great fight, obviously, or we wouldn't have made it. You know, you can see all these guys that come over from Japan and stuff, and you never know how they're going to do over here. First time in the big show, you know, I don't know. I'll be able to answer a lot more of those questions after he fights here.
And the weight class of Gono, was the discussion of, was this a natural 170 for him? Were there options?
What do you mean?
Could he have fought at another weight?
I have no idea. I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy.
And Nick Solomon, we'll go back to you.
Yeah, real quick, Michael, question for you. On the Ultimate Fighter 3, Tito Ortiz said that you almost caught him in some submissions. And I read somewhere that you were quoted as saying that you didn't almost, but I did.
Yeah. Sorry, I lost you for a second. The end of the question, what, are you saying, did I tap in?
Yeah, did you ever tap him?
Yeah, I did, yeah, Kimura did.
Okay. Now, I'm sure that inspired you with a ton of confidence. Would you actually be looking forward to an actual fight with Tito?
See, the thing is, the point that Tito's referring to, he's telling the truth today. He's talking about in at the start, I've forgotten the bloody name of the process, team selection, you know, you go through the test, and I rolled with him, and I nearly caught him in an armbar. So he's kind of telling the truth, but later on in, throughout the course of the series, I did catch him at the moment. But,
anything possible in the future. Right now, you know, I'm focusing on Rashad. That's the job I've got ahead of me. That's the guy I'm fighting on Saturday night, and that's all I'm thinking about right now.
Okay, thank you. Rashad, if I could just quickly ask you one more question. What advantages do you think you have over Michael?
There are a lot of advantages. Now, I think I'm faster than he is, and you know, I'm definitely a better wrestler than he is. And
you're a better dancer.
What's that?
Then you're a better dancer.
Oh yeah, better dancer. All of that, but not as good a dancer you were in that hammer fight.
Yeah,
but. But I got a lot of advantages over him, you know.
Well, listen, we're all working, struggling.
What's that?
He wants you to list them.
Oh, I did. I said I got better takedowns, better, faster. My hands are better. I mean, I thought the question was answered. Pay attention. Keep up, okay? Try to keep up.
Oh, okay. Long distance phone call.
All right, thanks, guys.
And as a final reminder, star one, please. Ryan Mink, we'll go back to you.
Hi, Houston. I wanted to ask you a couple more questions.
Okay, bro.
I was wondering what's more difficult, the fathering or the fighting?
that's not a question to be asked. But, the fathering is. Yeah, because it's going to continue until they're out the house, and even when they're out the house, it's going to continue then. So the fathering is a lot harder than the fight.
When did you become a single father? How long have you been a single father?
About 7 years.
About 7 years. Okay, and what are the ages of your children?
Between the ages of 5 and 16.
Okay, so what's been the hardest part of the fathering process, I guess?
Puberty. You got kids?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, then puberty.
So tell me, I mean, you know, somebody was asking before about how you can be so explosive and then, you know, be this father on the other side, you know. Where do you feel like you draw a lot of that explosiveness from?
Well, when you're a natural athlete and you're naturally competitive, I get that all from just being naturally a natural athlete and just being naturally competitive, man. It's just in any professional athlete, you just got to be that way.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, you see a lot of guys who want to kind of, you know, settle into a fight, and it seems like you just run at the opponent. You know, is that something you always did, or where did that come from?
Yeah, well, that's something I've always done. Yeah, I try to never let a person get to me first. I'm gonna always try to be the aggressor, because I'm an aggressive guy, and I don't know how aggressive a lot of the fighters are, but I'm just super aggressive. But and whatever I do.
Right. Cool. Hey, I don't know if this is really the format, but I'd love to catch up with you at the arena, maybe beforehand. So if you could give me a call, my phone number is 410-441-1150.
You can actually just get a hold of me, and I can take care of that for you.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, bye.
And Ms. Wink and Mr. White, there are no further questions at this time.
Hey, Dana, you want to make closing remarks and close out the call?
Yeah, guys, thank you very much for coming on, taking time out of your training. Everybody else, thank you so much for your support. We appreciate it, and see you in New Jersey this week.